Well, like his countrymen on the field, I think he's looking for a change of fortune this afternoon at the MCG. First ball, as I mentioned, in the third one day at 2:20. He's part of that Channel 9 commentary team. He's always terrific with his time. Ian Smith joins us on the line. G'day, Ian.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, firstly, what do we expect this afternoon? Can you guys fight back? What's the attitude like?
I would hope so. I would be thinking that they'd be a lot more determined just to make sure they go home with a victory prior to Christmas, because they've been very disappointing. You know, for me, they're a much better side than this across the board. The batting has been okay. You know, they've given two fairly hefty chases a decent whack for a while, but yeah. To be honest, they shouldn't be chasing that many. The bowling's been awful. The bowling's been loose. The disciplines, the no balls, etc., have been poor. And the fielding has been lackluster as well. And I really can't put a finger on absolutely why they've been that poor, because generally, in the park, they're a very, very good unit together. So I'm looking for a much better effort in that department. And if they should have to chase again, I don't think I'd be wanting to see them chase 300-plus. So they've got to get their bowling and fielding right.
I saw Tim Southee came out after the game on Tuesday in Canberra, and totally understandable, he backed his captain, Kane Richardson, for
a toss,
asking Australia to bat first. Your thoughts on that, Ian?
Yeah, I was out there at the time. There's about three or four of them mulling around. And I will say this. New Zealanders, traditionally over the years, Brendan McCullum's an exception probably. If the conditions are marginal, New Zealand captains over the years have tended to go bowl, because that's the way it is in our country. Mm. And whilst we're out there and doing the build-up for the game, there was light drizzle falling for perhaps 40 of the 50 minutes leading into that. And they were standing out there in most of that, mulling over what they would do. They'd practiced the day before. And they felt the covers had been on a long time. Certainly on the morning of the match, the covers, or the Hessian cover, was on leading into it for an hour. And they just thought, well, we won't. You look at Australia's bowling lineup, you think, do I want to give Stark and do I want to give Hazelwood and Cummins? Do I want to give them the advantage? Do I know how it's going to play? And in the end, he's still a relatively new captain. Look at... Even Tubby said, you know, I don't know, I wouldn't be that disappointed about bowling right now. So I think there was enough in there. I mean, the fact Australia got 370 is the reason he got caned. But having said that, at the time, I know a lot of New Zealand captains that probably would have bowled first.
Ian, I know you would have been thinking, or maybe you were thinking, that, you know, we were probably ripe for the picking here. I know we were on home soil, but we were coming off a couple of losses to... Well, the losses to South Africa, and then, of course, we just got dished up zip and five in our last one-day series. So, yeah, there would have been some optimism for the Kiwis.
Oh, yeah, look, hey, they came over here pretty positive. There's no doubt about that, because we fixed up Pakistan and we were looking like quite a good unit. I will say, though, against South Africa and those sides, you didn't have the bowling attack you've got now.
True.
No.
This is a fair bowling attack. Stark, Hazelwood, Cummins, there's a fair bowling attack. And then, you know, you've got your all-rounder Mitch Marsh firing. You've got Faulkner. I mean, good God, you didn't even need to play Maxwell in the first two. And we know what kind of cricketer he can be. So this is a hell of a strong lineup. And when they get their act together all around the park, most sides in the world will struggle. You know, one day Smith breaks a record with the bat, the next day Warner chimes in with a beautiful 100, and then those young fellas come along and blast it at the end. So, listen, the side's firing, and, you know, okay, we're not doing ourselves any favours, but we have to be 100% to beat this side, I think.
Mm. You mentioned the fielding and the energy, and that was something that BJ Watling spoke about as well, and he sort of took it upon himself, as wicketkeepers do. You obviously being a former wicketkeeper, Ian, how much influence can a wicketkeeper have on just the energy that a side brings in the field, which is so important when you're trying to create some pressure against a batsman?
Well, everyone, you know, when you first walk out of the dressing room and you hit the park, and everyone should be 100% focused. Everyone should have a lot of energy there. The wicketkeeper's job is when he senses it's starting to flag, you know, and it has flagged a couple of times because Australia's batting performance has been very good. That is when, as a wicketkeeper, you've got to try and lift it. When you sense the players around you aren't encouraging the bowlers like they once were, or, you know, you just feel there's been a couple of missed fields and the shoulders are starting to slump a wee bit. That is the time you've got to cash in as a wicketkeeper and start to generate things yourself. Problem is, in our situation, BJ Watling's only just come back into the side himself. It's not like he's a fixture.
Right.
He's trying to find he's trying to find his place in the side as well. I mean, we tried Luke Ronke for 2 to 3 years leading into the World Cup, etc. BJ Watling was just a passenger, a spare part. So he's trying to establish himself as well. And he sees it going all around the park. They're bowling a lot of no balls. That's a dense one itself. You overstep. You give the opposition a free hit, and they punish you. There's one delivery at the SCG the other night, went for 11. The guy bowled a no ball. I think it was Matt Henry bowled a no ball, and it went for 4. So there's 5. Your free hit went for 6. One delivery. And that is soul destroying. I take a hell of a wicketkeeper to lift someone after that.
Yeah, you're true. Ian, just a quick one generally for me. Did you ever think you'd see the day where you're going to see red card, so send off for a cricketer? And then a yellow card, so like the way of football, two yellow cards and you're off. Probably not at the elite level we're seeing, Ian, but certainly they've had trouble, in the lesser grades.
Yeah, I can see it, but, man, I'll tell you what, pressure on umpires. Yeah. I know a lot of umpires who struggle to count to 6. To be fair, I don't know if a lot of them are capable of making those decisions and being on the field and standing up to, or having to, if you send someone off or whatever, having to put up with it afterwards. I can't see it operating smoothly, to be fair. Umpires struggle as it is at the best of times to get respect from players. So you're going to give them that kind of power. I can see there being a bit of, as Tony Greg would say, carnage out there. I mean, like, it's going to be tough for them to patrol that, and I can't see it operating at the highest level. I tell you, I'd like to see yellow and red cards for overrate. Get that out in international cricket, and we might see people getting value for money and players getting through the required overrate in the course of a day, so we're not robbed of cricket.
Mm. Yeah. The other one is the size of the bats, and they're apparently going to be cut back a little bit. Now, you would have been in the team when Lance Cairns came out with the shoulderless Newbury. We thought that was a big bat back in the day compared to these ones.
It was a heavy bat, really big heavy bat, had its shoulders cut off. And yeah, it was big, but it could only be used by a certain... I mean, you had to be a really strong guy to be able to operate this thing. His bat, I mean, most of us couldn't pick it up and hit the ball with it properly anyway, but these days the bats are so light.
Yeah.
And we've seen them break all the time now, which is not good for the manufacturers. I think Mitch Marsh used 4 bats the other day, which is quite incredible, but... The wood's so dry, they don't last, but while they are together, they're so fat in terms of that the edges are like the edges are as big as the face of the bat. I like the fact that they're going to control it. It's getting out of hand. I believe that when you bring the boundaries in like they do around the world now, they're in 5 metres from the fence, it's so easy now to miss it and get away with it compared to days that gone by. And I would like to see them brought under control, because there's got to be a limit at some stage. It's just bizarre.
Mm. No, I think there's a lot of people would agree with you, especially the bowlers. Good luck today. Hope it goes well down there. Weather's okay. We'll get away on time.
Look, blue sky coming over the top of Melbourne at the moment. Yeah, still a long way away from kickoff, obviously, but... Yeah, I'd like a win tonight so I can get some respite out of those Muppets I'm working with.
Yeah, I betcha. Well, just give it to Slats on our behalf as well, mate, even if you are behind.
Has he been to work while the series is on?
Yes, he was in yesterday.
Yeah, I think he got...
Mate, well, that's 1 out of 10. That's not bad.
I think he got lost. Good on you, Ian.
Cheers, boys.
Well done. Ian Smith, who fronts up everything, really. Radio, telly, over there in New Zealand. Rugby union, cricket. Marbles.
He's a good operator.
He's a good man.
Yeah, $1.33 the Aussies. And New Zealand, $3.30 outsiders.